We are going to keep getting in touch with a public health crisis, a family crisis, a personal crisis. I'm talking about heroin. Yesterday, a documentary filmmaker for Frontline told us why she focused on the Puget Sound region for her national look at opiate and heroin addiction. The Frontline documentary aired last night on PBS and Channel 9. You can hear the interview at KUOW.org. Now you're going to learn more about what drug injection looks like in our state. According to Caleb Banta Green, it looks like millions of needles, tens of thousands of users. Banta Green is with the University of Washington's Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute. He helped run a statewide survey of needle exchange programs, and he found that even though a lot of people in our state inject heroin, many of them want to stop.
Most are not in treatment, and most want to be in treatment. And I think that's really important. I think we have this stereotype that people who are injecting heroin are somehow enjoying it and getting away with something and having fun. And in fact, the vast majority of people don't want to be using and would like to get help to reduce their use.
More than 11 million needles exchanged in 2014. More than 25,000 people in Washington inject illegal drugs?
That's right, at least.
Why is this such a big problem here, and how do we compare to the rest of the country?
Well, it's a big problem here. It's a big problem across a lot of the country. I don't think we're really truly very different. I think we're a little bit ahead of the country in some ways in terms of the bad consequences with heroin, because we did a good job reining in prescription opiate abuse. 2009, 2010, really reined in some of that prescribing. The problem is we didn't increase the amount of opiate addiction treatment. And so with that, we weren't addressing opiate addiction. We were just addressing one of the forms of opiates being pharmaceutical. Heroin is available all across the state, and people rapidly switch to that.
What should we do more about treatment?
Yeah, the biggest thing about treatment is people need to be asking for it, and then we need to make sure we have it for people. So what people need to know, your listeners need to know, is that we are incredibly fortunate when it comes to opiate addiction and overdose. We have an emergency antidote called naloxone, but for people who are really want to get the use under control, which is most people, we have two very effective medications, methadone and buprenorphine. And these medications, repeatedly research is showing they cut your chances of dying by 50%. If you think about some other medical condition out there, whether it's heart disease or diabetes, if we had a medication that cut your chances of dying by 50%, we'd make it widely available. We would encourage people to get on it. We would reduce barriers for people to get on it. All providers would prescribe these medications. That's not the case when it comes to medications like buprenorphine and methadone.
And you found that more than half of the drug users surveyed said that they were at least somewhat interested in getting help or quitting drugs. Mm-hmm. So what are the barriers?
So the barriers are multiple. One, there literally may not be treatment in their community. The type of treatment that might be available might be an hour or two away. For instance, methadone maintenance programs, which are in big facilities, generally seeing 300 or 700 patients, they're in the bigger cities around Washington State, which is why this other medication, buprenorphine, that doctors can prescribe out of their office is really appealing to people. We can train the doctors. Turns out it's really hard to then get them to actually prescribe this medication to anyone, let alone more than a handful of people. One of the issues is a doctor in a rural community, they don't want to be the only prescriber, because then they become a magnet for this population of people who are opiate addicted. And it's a challenging population. People in opiate addiction, they're in crisis, and they're very high needs in terms of medical needs and mental health needs. So I understand why one doctor in an isolated place doesn't want to take this on by themselves. So what we really need to do is to get many doctors to step up and take care of it. And we also need, very importantly, I've talked with several parents of kids who have died of heroin overdoses, some of them who had been in 12-step NAA-type programs for years. And I asked them, you know, did you ever consider these medications like methadone or buprenorphine? And they're saying, no. You know, when I talked to my kid, they were working the 12 steps and they didn't really want to use these medications. They thought it was just a crutch. They were swapping one addiction for another. And I think that misperception is fatal. I think it's really important that people understand that, in fact, addiction has a physical component. Yes, you're physically dependent on these opioids. That's only one piece of addiction. The other part is that it's impairing your ability to function in your life. So if you're treating opiate addiction with a medication, you're still physically dependent, but you're no longer having these relationships with other people that are dysfunctional. You're no longer stealing. You can be a good parent. You can be a good kid. You can go to school. You can hold down a job. You're no longer addicted. You are a person who is in recovery, active recovery, with the help of a medication.
You sound so optimistic about the treatment medications that we have at hand.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the odds that a few years down the road, that's well understood and commonly used, and we're not talking about a heroin epidemic in, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years.
It would be spectacular. We have probably about 15,000 people on methadone or buprenorphine at any one time in Washington state. We probably need another 10 to 20,000 more people on these medications. And what you need to understand is we need them on these medications potentially for the rest of their lives. This isn't a one-and-done thing. Opiate addiction is a chronic, lifelong condition. Many people will need to be on these medications for the rest of their life. So the amount of scaling up we need to do in terms of access to these medications and maintaining it for decades is huge. The biggest increase is among young adults, 18 to 25 years old. Hopefully, they've got another 60, 70 years of their life left, and they may potentially be on these medications for a long part of their lifetime. And so we have a huge scaling up we need to do.
How do you want people listening to you to think differently about this heroin epidemic?
Yeah. So what I want people to understand is the scale that we're talking about. We're talking about tens of thousands of heroin injectors in Washington state. Tens of thousands. And I want people to understand that people actually don't want to be using. The vast majority don't want to be using, and they would like help reducing their use. But most of them cannot access services, and we don't have enough services out there. I also want people who are using heroin to understand that getting on these medications is life-saving. It is not just swapping out one addiction for another. It is a life-saving step to take. We talk about stigma, and that stigma can kill. We have stigma about people who are addicted, and unfortunately, we also have stigma about the treatment medications, and people need to learn more about both of those situations so that we can keep people alive.
That is Caleb Banta Green with the University of Washington's Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute. You can hear my interview yesterday with the creator of that Frontline documentary called Chasing Heroin. It's at our website, KUOW.org, and we're going to tweet that link out to you right now. We're tweeting the link to that Chasing Heroin interview. So join us at KUOW.